Thanks for listening to Ace on the House on Podcast One.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
Here at Podcast One, we love hearing from you. We read every tweet and comment you send our way. So don't miss your chance to take our summer listener survey. Just go to podcastone.com and click on the survey banner, or go to podcastone.com/mysurvey. It only takes a few minutes, and it gives you the opportunity to make a direct impact on your favorite shows. Tell us how you really feel so we can get to know you better. We value your thoughts and participation. So check out the survey at podcastone.com/mysurvey, or click on the survey banner on podcastone.com.
This is Corolla Digital.
Taking calls, home improvement tips, straight from the Ace Man's lips to those in need. They cover it all, A to Z, roof to basement and in between. Ray's on the ladder and Ace got the hammer. Fixing your trouble with hilarious banter. So send your emails to the Postal and Punisher with his old buddy Ray. It's Ace on the House.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. And welcome to Ace on the House, or as Pop Scarola calls it, Ace on the Roof, everybody. I'm Adam Cross, Ray Oldhoffer over there.
Hello, Adam.
Telling you about projects and things, stuff we're working on. I got a lot of stuff to get into. First, let's see. You went to our class reunion on Saturday.
I did.
I was working Saturday, the McGregor fight. It seems weird to me, right? She's showing me pictures of stuff. It seems weird. It's good pod. Me on the beach?
Who's on the beach?
Me on the beach. Thank you, Ray.
Put those pictures so up cute. At aceontheroof.com as long as Ray texts them to me.
I will.
All right. So anyway, Ray.
Yeah.
Talking to the mic.
I am.
You went to the reunion. I have this happen a lot. Like I have guys. It's weird. The people who aren't interested in things don't realize that other people are interested in things. Like I had these guys, you know, all the car guys, and they're like, we want to do the Checker Flag 200 group. There's about 80 of us, and we want to tour your warehouse. And it's like, okay, what day? How about Sunday, the 6th? Okay, that's Super Bowl Sunday. Yeah, that's Super Bowl Sunday. That's not a good day to talk cars with 80 old dudes in my warehouse. Well, that's the day we have on the calendar. It's like no situational awareness. This 35 year reunion, which I would have been okay with, just happened to be a Saturday night. I don't know what came first, but I feel like if I was doing some event where I was trying to get a bunch of folks together on a Saturday night, I would not pick the night for the most anticipated fight in the last 25 years where everybody, like including Lynette and stuff, were huddled in front of TV sets everywhere. Like I just wouldn't pick that Saturday night. I'd say, let's do it Friday night, or let's do it Sunday night, or let's do it the following Saturday.
Well, I hit and ran, hence that's why. Yeah.
How many people went wanting to leave or get out and catch the fight or come say hi at 8 o'clock, have a Danish, and get out of there by 8:20 so you can go watch the fight? So
yeah,
why would they do it on that Saturday? Matt, it's confusing, right?
Yeah, that's a terrible idea.
It's
the only thing I can think of is maybe they started planning their
reunion. The fight wasn't scheduled, obviously.
Then when this fight does get scheduled, you get four months. Right? Yeah. I mean, the fight was on the calendar for 3 months, right? Over, under?
Yeah.
Three months.
Yeah. Move it, for sure.
Just move it. Just send everyone a thing. Everyone, by the way, everyone will be happy because they want to go. They want to go
watch a fight.
Right. So I would have showed up the night before, the night after, or the following Saturday. But anyway, so
I called you a few times.
How was it?
It was all right. It was good. It was a nice turnout. Small. Yeah. I'd say I ran into about 25 people, 30 people. Anyone? This isn't the big one. The big one's going to be the 40.
Anyone dead?
No memorial wall, thank God.
Oh, that's good.
I ask about it.
Okay.
But, you know, no fruition on that. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people died. You know that.
No, I don't know a lot of people died. I don't know who all's here and who all's gone. I didn't really keep track of that. I mean, I remember there's always that one or two people die in your class somehow. And they put them in the yearbook.
Right.
You know what I mean? That. Remember, there's like this Indian girl that died.
Yeah, that had a brain aneurysm or something.
I don't know.
Super sweet.
She was nice girl. And I remember a couple people that bought the farm, but I don't remember since high school. But anyway, so you walked around, you said hi to everybody.
Yeah.
And it was good.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was good. Chris and I went. You know, we met there together.
Yeah, I think I definitely would have gone if I wasn't working that fight. But all right,
you were missed.
Good.
You were inquired about a lot.
Should have been. Thank you. All right. Projects. What are you working on?
Still doing my thing, you know, moving stuff, cleaning
up. Not working.
No.
Not doing a job.
Nope.
How do you support yourself if you're not working?
Well, you know, I have my go-to jobs. I have like three clients that I do everything for them exclusively, so that holds me over.
All right.
You know, so I just keep, you know, I'll use that.
It's a
cyclical thing. Then if I got to go help you or whatever, I'll go do that. But I'm not taking anything big on.
Was I talking to you? God, I'm so glad I got out of that business. Was I just the heat alone? It's so goddamn hot. I always think of you going, I like it when it's hot. It makes me angry. It's so goddamn hot.
Yeah, but when it's like this and humid, I'm not good at this.
Good. I hope you're miserable.
But I will go play golf in it or whatever. I'm fine.
I still think about when I used to have to work in this heat and how brutal it was. So I had a funny was I telling you about good band, Gary and the Knotholes? Gary, Robbie, and the Knotholes. Was I telling you a story?
No. That's funny.
It was only funny, told it off air, I think.
I had a
I like it though.
I had a funny thing, which is I was deciding to put up a shelf and pole.
Ooh.
I gotta write down pole. I need a pole. I gotta put the shelf up in my closet.
Chrome pole.
I need. I made a new closet in my room, and I needed the shelf
on the flip side closet or the one in your bedroom.
The flip side one is I made into a bathroom. The one in my bedroom is just a small closet for me, and I decided to put a shelf and pole up mm-hmm. there. And, I had a couple funny experiences. So, I told Rob, cut three cleats, cut the back cleat, 1x3 or 1x4, whatever it was. Cut the back cleat, you know, yeah. So it's like 4 foot across.
Right.
Cut the two front ones coming forward, you know, like 16, 18 inches or something like that. And then we'll cut the shelf and bring it all over and we'll install it. And then he said, okay. So the first thing he did was he showed up with all the pieces, and the pieces had the back cleat that went all the way across, and then the two front cleats that came forward that I had, I think, set to come up just an eighth or a quarter shy of the top shelf. You know, what you want to do, peoples, when you're doing a joint or a seam or whatever, is if your shelf is 16 inches wide, and you're cutting the cleats that support it, you should either go all the way across,
yeah,
or you should just come up like a quarter short on each side.
You have a reveal.
But don't try to match it dead nuts on. Because if you try to match it dead nuts on, first off,
one side's going to be different than the other.
And the shelf's going to get hung up a little, yeah, in the back. And even if you do get it dead nuts on, you're still going to have a seam in the front,
sure,
that you don't really want to look at. So just hold it back.
You'd rather have it revealed back.
Yeah. So I did that. And they showed up with all the pieces, and then I had this conversation, which I always enjoy, which is I was looking at the pieces, and they're all butt cut. And I said, and when we do our cleats in the front, we do the dog ear move. It doesn't look like all end grain, and we do the we swoop it up. We chop it up. So it looks finished.
Give it a 22 or whatever.
Yeah, I think it's a 45.
You could just cut a little the 45 at the end or 22.
Yeah, no, 45 at the end's better. And then you go about halfway or whatever. You just give it a finish.
Yeah, don't give it the whole thing. Sure.
Yeah. And so instead, you're just looking at 3.5 inches of end grain, which you don't want.
You don't need that.
You don't need that. So I said to Rob, why don't we do our dog ear cut on these things like we normally do? And he said, I don't know. I asked you. And I go, what'd I say? You didn't say anything. Well, why don't you ask me again, Dad? Like, I know I was probably talking about something, and he said something, and I went, hold on, or something when I was finishing my thought. But, I mean, just go ahead and cut it like we always do, or if I don't.
It's just a better finished look.
Well, it's not only a better finished look, it's what we do. But the thing that's funny about a lot of people and the way they process information, or lack thereof, is this is the way we do it. Okay, we've established that. I asked you if you wanted to do it this way, which you don't really need to do because this is the way we do it. But when you did ask me, I didn't give you an answer. But so that to you meant don't do it, except for you never got any clarity on it.
Well, how many closets has he built for you?
Oh, we've done millions of shelves, and we've done tons of shelving at the other shop.
Every shelf, this is the MO.
That's why he knew
to
bring it up. Now, he didn't know to do it. He knew it to bring it up. He should have known to do it.
To do it, yeah.
Right. But instead, he said, I asked you, and I said, what did I say? And he said, you didn't say anything. You were like, moved on to something else. And I was like, that's always right up there with like, oh, we're out of weenie rollers. Oh, you were just at the Home Depot. Yeah, I don't know if we needed any or not. Like, just call. Could you call? Just call, and I'll say get the weenie rollers. Like, it's such a weird communication thing. Matt is smiling because it's such a weird thing. Like I tell people all the time, just pick up the phone and call or send an email or something. Like I'll never ever go, what are you doing calling me at home? Weenie rollers? This should be about something important. Like I've never had that conversation, and the only conversation I've ever had was just call if you don't know, or ask, or just do it, or whatever. Like just it's weird, right?
Well, gun shy. Out of his element, gun shy. He's, you know.
Not gun shy.
You got about what?
Listen.
Maybe 100 IQ going on there?
He'll come.
Maybe?
He'll come running up to me and tell me that Tom's van got total when he was just sleeping in it, just parked in his van. So it's not gun shy. That's not what happened at all, but still. It's a weird thing. Like, it's a weird, like, I'll be sitting there, and then 2 weeks will go by, and then Tom will be like, yeah, I'm getting sued by the lady. And be like, you were sitting in your van, and you got hit by a lady, and she's suing you? Oh, no, I was in the left lane. I was driving. But Rob said you were just parked in your van. No. Well, why does Rob think you were parked in your van? I don't know. I didn't, just told him I was in the left lane driving. Got hit. Okay. It's weird. I guess I have to just, I'm not sure what to do with the information. You know what I'm saying?
Like I got
ignore
you.
It or whatever. But no, it's not gun shy. It's just you have to get into a modality where you have, here's the thing.
The thing is, if you do something with you once, you know you're particular. I know what your style is. I know what you're going to want.
Yeah.
So just beat you to the punch.
You don't
at a
care
level.
That much either. The point is you need a modality. You need a pecking order. There needs to be a process from A to B to C, which is, and I think this is an interesting thing, and everyone needs this when they're building, and they don't have enough of this. You have to go, well, here's what Adam does, and here's what we do as it pertains to shelves. Then your next thought is, well, I brought it up to Adam, and he didn't say anything. Okay, then your next thought has to revert back to, but this is how he does it.
So do it.
And then your next thought can be, well, this is how he does it, but I better double check with him because he didn't say anything. But it should never lead you to, let's just do it a different way and show up and go, yeah, I don't know what it is.
No.
But anyway, no big deal. We just trimmed it up in the garage on the chop saw, put it up, but it was a very interesting moment, which is, I went out and I looked at the three pieces he brought me. And I try to explain to people all the time, you always have you usually have an option. You want to put it this way, you want to put it that way. It's my factory edge option.
Mm-hmm.
I'm made a platform for Sonny to sleep on. I got two edges that face out and two edges that are getting cut. I want my two factory edges at the end and on the outside, and I want my cut edges against the wall and against the wall.
Buried.
But there's a window for that decision, and then it's going to get closed at a certain point. And all I'm saying is before you make your cuts, don't just start making your cuts. That plywood's going to have a top, it's going to have a bottom, or it may have a top, and it may have a bottom. What side you want up, what side you want out.
Right.
Make that decision, then cut. Don't just cut and then go, well, you said you wanted 80 by 42.
I should have flipped it. Yeah.
No, you just go, you go, you said you wanted 80 by 42. Yeah, but now we got the cut edge out, or whatever it is.
So I got you.
There's a window. So I walked out to look at the cleats.
Uh-oh.
The cleats looked pretty good. But one cleat had a big kind of divot, rough spot with where it was sort of chewed out a little with a knot hole, and then another big kind of knot hole that was kind of split up a little on it. The kind of thing where you can paint it. No. Yeah, you want it against the wall.
Yeah.
You can paint it all you want. You'll just see the knot hole. You can try to sand it. You can put spackle on it. Yeah, look, it's not going to be a big deal. But so he was looking at it, and then I flipped it over, and it was pristine on that side. So I said to myself, no.
Oh, this is fun.
It's going to get good. It's going to get good. So I just looked at it. I looked at it, and I went, all right, now let's see. I've talked about this a million times. Like, take your wood. Turn it over, see if it's crowning, put the crown up, put the factory edge down and the whatever up, look at what side you want to use, the less knots, because it would happen all the time, as guys would paint up a side and be a bunch of knot holes and stuff, and you turn the other side and it looks better.
Yeah.
And you put one side against the wall.
Yeah.
Right. So I looked at it and then I waited.
You didn't say anything?
Well, I just want to see. I want to give people the chance to see if they're learning, if they're understanding, I always say, whenever it's back or front or this side out or that side out, you have a choice now. Make a choice. It's my thing of like, if you are hanging something on the wall, a picture, a clock, or what have you, and you go, where should I put it up on this wall? There's a pretty good chance there's something next to it. There's a line. Sometimes it's
an eye line, a mullion
on a French door or something. Just something
just matches
that it just
up.
Line it up.
It's where it belongs. You can feel it.
Find something nearby that has a line or whatever and sort of figure
it
out
that way. Yeah.
Yeah, before it's not, things aren't as random as you think. Find some correlation to something around it and use that.
There's an aesthetic to it. You got to know it. You got to figure it out.
Yeah, I'm just saying, even when you think you're just randomly putting a clock up on the wall or a picture up on the wall, I'll bet you can find something in the neighborhood to sort of find a correlation, a height.
And why it should be there, sure.
Yeah. All right, I'll tell you what happened here. You're going to like it. LifeLock, man. Phone could be spying on you. Did you know that? Malicious malware called Sonic Spy. It's been found in over 1,000 apps. It's it can record your calls, hijack your phone's camera. Oh, boy. Worse, criminals can make phone calls, send texts, steal your money. Somebody's identity is stolen every 2 seconds in ways you may not detect if you're only monitoring your credit. Thieves could sell your information on the dark web. They get an online payday loan in your name. Once your credit gets screwed up, it's really hard to unring that bell. That's why I have LifeLock. Detects a wide range of identity threats. If there's a problem, their U.S.-based identity restoration specialist will work to fix it, but there won't be because you'll have LifeLock. I have it. The kids have it. The dog has it. I don't think Phil has it, but Lynette and the kids have it. It's LifeLock. Matt.
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock can uncover threats you might miss. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use promo code Adam. That's Adam for 10% off your LifeLock membership. Save 10% now with promo code Adam or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Visit LifeLock.com.
So, we have the
cleat.
We have the back cleat, and then we have the two cleats going forward with the little dog ear taken out of the bottom. So, it looks finished. Okay? Like a dog ear redwood fence for those listening. Sort of, if you, it's like you took that thing and ripped it in half and is using the bottom part for the cleat. So I just let it lay. And then at a certain point, I told Rob, you know, prime them up before we put them up. We'll prime them up outside. And he got out the primer, and I said, he's getting ready to prime them up. And I said, any thoughts on priming those things up? And he said, yeah. I looked them over, and this one side's got a bunch of knots on it, and it's gouged out. So I'm just going to prime up the other side. And that'll be the side that faces out, and the knot side will be the side that faces the wall. And I said, you are learning, my son. You are learning. Good. I'm glad to hear you're awake. I'm glad to hear you're on top of it. And good. So just prime the good side. And I'm going to take the dog for a walk. All right. So him and Gary, they're working away. And at some point, there's a weird math that you have to do on this. But at a certain point, I come back from walking the dog. Shelf's up in place. Screwed in. Everything. And I look at it, and of course, the knot's facing out. This is moments, like I was 20 minutes earlier. I was like, all right, everybody, knot's against the wall. Fantastic. I'm taking a walk. And I came back, and it was like literally like 26 minutes later, and the thing's up, and the knots are facing out with the gouge and everything. And the thing that makes it even worse, it's at the very front of the of the thing. And I go, wait a minute, what? What happened? What happened? You primed. I saw you prime the good side. You primed the good side. How did this even happen?
You put the 45 on the wrong. You put the 45 wrong.
Well, because now there is a 45 at the bottom. There is kind of a right and a left.
Right.
And so what he did is he made two rights.
Right. So now you have flip it.
So now what Gary did, Gary, he still could have just used that one on the right.
Okay.
And we could have done away with, or started with the left side one, or whatever the math is on it. He could have still used it without the knots, but he put the other one up first.
Now you're,
And when he put the other one up first, now we got two rights. So now all he can do is prime the back and put it on the left. So still had a coin toss with Gary, but.
What'd they do? They shoot it in or screw it in? Why didn't take it off?
Said, why not just take it off? And he'd caulked up the back of the thing, put a bunch of adhesive on the back of it, and then the thing, the right side was done, and the left side was done, and the thing was done. So now I got to either just
bond to it,
deal with the knot, or take the two off that are already glued on and swap them and scrape the glue off the smooth part.
I know. I'd take it off anyway, though. It would drive me nuts.
I don't know, though. What would drive you more nuts? Like pulling the thing apart? Of course I'll have him fill it. I'm just saying, I'm standing in my driveway going,
well,
good.
Yell at me.
Not out.
Buddy.
Not against the wall. And then you just look at Rob, and he has that vacant look. It's like a great white shark. And he just goes, Gary put it up. I go, like, yeah, but you primed the wrong side. And you go, yeah, I know. Gary just did what he does. And I'm like, yeah, but you're standing here. Like, you got to go poke your head in, would you?
All right.
It's good times. We got questions here.
We're screening a call right now, but in the meantime, we'll jump to the video question for the week.
You know what I like to do, Ray? I like to just stand amongst those two, and I go, are we this dumb? Like, I don't care about the knots. I really don't care about the knots. I care about how dumb we are, like how we can't accomplish
anything.
There's
some gimme stuff going on there. I mean, it should have been just... It was already thought out, already talked about. In fact, you even said, let's see what happens here. Came through.
Well, the second Gary realized he had two rights,
and
going to have to flip it and paint the back of one, that's the time to look at them. He just grabbed the one. He could have been one or the other. They're both just right-hand drive for Gary. Instead, he grabbed the one, and he didn't flip it over and look at all the knot holes.
Course,
Rob probably could have done some math on a right and a left, too, when he was priming him up.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, the point is that here's all I care about. I don't care that we've ruined another set of rims because we ran into another pothole. I mind that I'm riding shotgun, screaming about the pothole, The pothole's coming up in a mile. We're coming up. I can see the pothole from here. Let's not hit the pot. I only mind the part where I scream about the pothole. If I'm in the back of the car sleeping, I don't really, I don't like that we hit the pothole, but it's not as concerning to me. What's concerning is that I bring this stuff up and we still can't do it.
Right.
That's
hitting the pothole and getting a flat tire.
I told those guys, hey, Rob, don't forget my shift stickers for the track. I need my shift stickers. He got them out. He had them in his hand. He set them on the roof of the car. He never brought them to the track. And then he called Loxamana and said, oh, I forgot the shift stickers. Bring the shift stickers. And Loxamana didn't bring them. At 8 in the morning, like while we were there, like at the shop and stuff. I don't mind not having the shift stickers. I mind how frightening it is that we can't execute bringing stickers for a shift pattern. That's the point. The sticker I make at the track with a Sharpie and a white piece of tape, but I just mind that we can't do it.
That you can't have the ones you already made there. Yeah.
That Rob walks around with them and sets them on the hood of a car and then gets in a trailer and leaves, and that he then calls Chris at 8 in the morning.
Please,
and says, go get those stickers. And Chris goes and gets them and puts them on the seat of his Prius. And then we all get on an airplane and go to Sonoma. And he forgot the stickers.
I think I would have made some stickers.
I've made a lot of stickers. Matt, that's Matt's number one gig, man.
Making
shift pattern stickers for me.
Secret pleasure.
I would have rather made my own shift pattern sticker. Do they know what they look like? Could they have?
Well, hold on, Ray. What you just said is insanely nonsensical. What you would have rather
I wouldn't have wanted to tell you about it that it was forgotten or whatever. I would not tell you.
Well, Rob is on his way to Sonoma, and Chris is sitting next to me on an airplane
with the stickers next to, in the Prius.
Right. So, how would they have recreated those stickers?
Chris, I would have called Rob, dude, make those patent code. I forgot them, whatever.
How is it that he would make those stickers on the road driving a truck with a trailer on it to Sonoma?
I mean, was he alone?
How would he make the stickers, is what I'm saying. These were stickers that I've made.
I'm sure you can get sticker stock anywhere, and I'd make them rather than deal with you. That's what I'm saying.
All right. Matt, this is nonsensical, yes?
I checked out a few minutes ago.
Okay.
Right,
but
you're
saying isn't making sense. Now, because there is no sticker stock on the way to Sonoma, and then you just have to take a Sharpie. You could never, simulate it.
Okay.
You couldn't replicate it. Okay. But all right. Don't ever get
the craftsmanship that I put into the stickers. It could never be replicated.
Matt puts incredible craftsmanship into those stickers. He makes a small, a medium, and a large. He makes a first gear up and a first gear down.
That's right.
He's all.
Are there arrows and such?
Anyone can use them.
No arrows, just the pattern. But anyway, it's a bridge too far.
Hey, how many patterns do you have with these gearboxes anyway? How many different ones are there?
He makes the one with the shift that goes up for first gear and then the one that goes down for first gear. That's about it. Because other than that, there are no other.
I like the up.
I like the up too. Sadly, most of my race cars are down.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a little annoying. Can you drive a stick yet?
What are you fucking talking about? Yeah.
You just got your driver's license when you were 18 or something, right?
Yeah, I knew I'd drive a stick, too.
All right. I thought you were a late
bloomer. I took your, what was that? Was the Audi a stick? What was the other car you had?
Yeah.
It was a stick.
What'd you take?
I forget which one I drove. I went and got gas for you and all that. Stick.
BMW. Probably.
BMW one. Yeah.
All right. We'll take a look at a video question first. I'll tell you about Simply Safe.
Stick.
I don't know, right? You didn't drive a stick when you were 17 or 18. You didn't drive a stick at the beginning, did you?
No.
Mom's Honeybee was automatic, right?
Yeah, I learned when I was like 20.
All right. Simply Safe. You take precautions every day. Case for your phone, identity theft protection. Oh, we just talked about that. How about your home and your family? Simply Safe. No hassle. Just order it online. Simpli. It's completely wireless. Comes pre-programmed to work right out of the box. Install it yourself in under an hour. No activation fees, holes in the walls, no exposed wires. Easy peasy lemon squeezy, man. And not the mess. And not these guys, man, crawling around your shop or your house or wherever you're putting it up. Round the clock professional monitoring. With emergency dispatch, only $14.99 with no long-term lock-in contracts. These guys are smart. Go to simplysafeadam.com. Get 10% off when you order today. Put your package together. Put it up. Up and running. Batteries last up to 10 years. Peel and stick. Up and running. Under an hour. simplysafeadam.com. All right, Matt. You got our video question?
Oh, yeah. Please email us, aceonthehouse@adamcarolla.com. Go to Ace on the Roof to watch the videos. Here's one from Dan.
All right. We'll boot it up here.
Hey, you learned on a stick, didn't you?
Yeah, my dad had a...
H. Ray Stromer, get it on. My name's Dan Carroll from Ancaster, Ontario, Canada. Homeowner. It's my lovely townhome here. I built this gazebo. And just having
pretty
trouble
cool
with some ideas for finishing off the edges here.
Pause it up for a second. All right, so we're looking at a gazebo that he built out of what looks like 2x6s or 2x8s, and he's got this truss system and stuff going through. It's in the backyard. It's up like 8 foot off the ground. He's got his little daughter under there.
He ran the fascia wrong, Ace. That needs to go the other way.
The other way?
Yeah, the piece needs to come all the way down. That should be under.
Yeah, describe what you're seeing, right?
So we got the fascia around it, so it's like a pitched roof.
Yeah.
What he has, and that's probably a piece of 2x6 right there. Anyway, he put some 1x under that as far as cladding.
He put the skin the underside of it with like 1x.
Right.
What it looked like, yeah, and it actually looked like he bordered it off with this 1x material. But
when he needs a reveal there, the fascia, it should be underneath it.
Yeah, the fascia, he stopped the fascia. Well, the fascia, he doesn't have fascia. That's just a roof joist. And he just ran it. I mean, not a joist, a rafter, and he just ran it against it. But okay, so let's figure this out. Keep going.
Yeah, that's my
got his roof sticking out about 7/8 of an inch or something, half an inch over the top of it.
On the is that shingles?
Is that border sitting on top?
How you would cap this off?
Wants to finish
it or something.
The fascia.
Also underneath here.
Yeah. It's got his knotty pine TNG.
Oh, that kid on the ladder scares me.
How would you treat underneath here? Would you paint it? Also,
a lot of knot holes. Gary says paint it, knot holes out, man.
How would you treat these? Anything you can... any expertise?
All right. We're looking at painting exterior wood and blah, 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 blah. Okay, so that was.
I'd get some metal on that roof, wouldn't you, Adam?
That was a really. Or we'll figure this one out. Lots of knots all over that. You can paint it, but those knots are just going to shine on through. There's no real. We have a theme emerging, but you can't really bondo them and sand them or anything. It's just they're just going to be there.
I just seal them. I don't think it looks bad at all.
Yeah, no, it looks good. You know what I would do? Here's what I would do. I would take a penetrating darker stain that made those knots not pop as much because he has a very light like cedar on
it's
there
like
now.
Pine
with
or something.
Pine. He's in Canada, so I'm thinking maybe it's something other than pine. I don't know, but the point is this: you can take a cool penetrating stain, and also they have a lot of colors now, greens and reds and
sure.
things like that. Pick a cool color and do – I like the colored ones myself.
I like the lid super light, though.
Right,
I think
well
if you put a color on it, it kind of makes it come down a little bit.
Pick a golden kind of color.
Okay.
And use a penetrating stain. Don't use paint, primer and paint, and
no.
Don't use a clear, like gym floor or something. Just use a penetrating – endures much better and wears better. All right, so you do that. Then you can do it on your uprights as well, or you might even think
about
picking
another. You can use your uprights a different color.
Another color if you like. But check into the sort of colored penetrating stains. Then for the fascia. Now, as we always discuss, where you have the 1x and it's hitting the 2x6 and you got that line going all the way across, there's no such thing as caulking that line and priming it and painting. It's always going to be there.
Yeah.
You could try to make some kind of detail molding or something over it, which is like, you could do that.
Encase it like a angle?
You could do this. You could take some, like let's say... Now, you tell me what you think of this. Let's say, they have quarter round. Let's say you took half round. like a three-quarter inch or like a one-inch half round or something like that.
Okay.
And you put that over the seam. Like you just kind of one up like half an inch from the bottom edge. And you just put that flat on that seam.
Like a chair rail kind of thing.
Yeah, like a chair rail kind of thing. See, you could take one by and put it over both of them, but I don't, it's just going to stick
too
out.
Much.
It's going to stick out too far.
Too heavy, too.
None of it's going to last that long. If I took that one by that I'm, that the half round that I'm talking about,
right?
I would prime the shit out of it, and then I would put it on with, like, you know, exterior siliconized painter's caulk and pop a lot of galvanized finish nails into it.
Yeah.
That thing's going to want to roll around on you. I mean, when it gets exposed to weather. And then I would caulk the top and the bottom of it in real good, and I'd prime everything real good, and I'd just paint it.
I would paint that. I would paint what, you know, I'm calling the fascia, but it's not the rafter with your detail. I would paint that white.
What if you did?
I wouldn't paint underneath at all. I
no,
do what
no.
you're saying. But
what if you took my? What if you took my half round idea?
And what?
You take the first piece and you put it up a half inch from the bottom edge so it would cover your three-quarter mark. Now, then you go at the top.
And do the same thing.
You come down a half inch, and now you have two pieces, and it looks like you thought about something.
That I like that better.
All right. Looks like you did it. Everything,
but I also think that he needs a piece of drip metal on the edge.
Drip
there.
Edge. Yep. Yeah. All right. That's how we would finish it.
I like that.
Friends.
I like your second idea better with both of them. Because it would make it look like a detail then. And it would make it look like it was truly thought out, not a cover-up.
Yeah, the whole thing is it would look like you did it on purpose versus what it actually is, which is fixing a fuck-up.
Yeah.
So it's like I'm into picture-hanging mode, but if somebody punches a hole in the wall and the wall is, you know, shoulder height, and you say, oh, we'll just hang a picture over it, then that's fine. That you cover the hole, there's a picture, and nobody goes, hey, what is that picture, hiding a hole in the wall? But if you kicked a hole in the wall, and it was a foot off the ground, and you put a picture over it, then you would know
you're hiding a hole in the wall.
Right. But, if you made that your wall of fame and covered it with pictures of all celebrities, all floor to ceiling, then no one would know.
Salon wall.
I paint a picture, man, don't I, man?
Woo-hoo-hoo!
I'll be recognized, not in my lifetime, but I will be recognized one day. Mm-hmm. All right, let me tell you
No
one in my family. Geico, man, everybody's got the to-do list. Pick up the dry cleaning, recognize Ace for his genius, pick up some milk. Save hundreds of dollars to your car insurance, and you don't have to even leave the house. Just go to geico.com, 15 minutes. You could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Get that extra money, put it in your pocket, have a little walking around money. Go to geico.com, 15 minutes. You could be saving 15% or more on your car insurance. All right, Matt, what do we got?
Well, we got an email question.
Mm-hmm.
This one's a little long. Bear with me. Hey, guys, love listening to your show from Vancouver. We have a second story deck, which is on top of the front half of our two car garage with a Duradeck vinyl covering in the front of the deck. Total deck size, 10 foot deep, 15 foot wide, two long 15 foot sheets of Duradeck running widthwise on the deck, overlapping in the middle, and they're sealed. Deck's 5 years old. We have a soft spot in the floor of the deck toward the edge closest to the railing. It's circled in red on the picture. The area surrounding joists on either side of this soft spot are solid. The vinyl Duradeck looks fine. The seam is tight. We cannot identify any water getting under the vinyl, and the garage ceiling below the deck shows no signs of water damage. The joists between the soft spots are solid. I can stand on them without any bounce, but in the middle between the joist on the plywood, we have our soft spot. It feels like we have a rotting piece of plywood, but please advise your thoughts. I'm wondering if the affected area of the deck can be cut into through the vinyl and repaired, as in repair the wood and then cover the area with new vinyl, hoping we can find an exact color match, then seal it all up with a professional melting tool. Or do you think we have to do a mega version here, completely remove the old Duradeck, fix the affected plywood section, and lay out new vinyl covering? Thank you.
All right, let's see. I don't think you're ever going to perfectly match it, because if one thing has been laid out in the sun for 5 years and the weather for 5 years, it's going to change color
So yeah, even, it bleaches out.
Yeah, so...
Forget that.
Well, I'm not saying forget it, but I'm saying it might not be an option to just go get a whole new sheet and match the existing sheet. It may not exist that way. All right, so...
I'd start from going under, wouldn't you?
I think I will go, I'd say like big, medium, and small. I'll give you an A, B, or C kind of answer on this. One is, and the easiest is just lose some goddamn weight. Keep moving. You know what I mean? Now, I don't know if the thing's delaminating from the plywood or the whole plywood. It sounds like he's saying like the whole plywood is squishy. So, okay.
I think the thing's flexing. He's got two, so it's flexing, and the plywood is the culprit.
I would make sure that there's no delamination, what is flexing is, in fact, the subfloor, and that the vinyl is adhered to the subfloor.
Yeah.
That there's not air between the vinyl and the subfloor. So that's number one. I would make sure of that. Number two.
But how do you make sure of that?
Well, you just go over there, get down on your hands and knees, take your two fingers and kind of push on it and see if it's, you know,
let's say
flexing.
It's double. How thick is this stuff? I never even heard of it, by the way.
I never heard of it either, but I guess it's an eighth of an inch thick. So that's a sheet.
I'm saying even more.
No, I think you're missing this. I don't know. You can find out what this product is.
It's called Duradec.
Yeah, but here's what I'm saying. If there's plywood underneath it, I'll bet there's a sheet of this stuff on top, especially if they seam it and stuff. But the sheet is like a quarter inch. You know, I'm thinking of more like linoleum or something.
Like an air gap between the sheets, possibly. I gotcha.
Between the sheet and the subfloor, right?
Gotcha.
Okay, so that could be number one. Number two, I agree with Ray. I think I'd go underneath. And I would cut out a, you know, 2-foot by 2-foot piece of drywall and look up in there and see what's going on. Now, you can easily just take that piece that you cut out at 2-foot by 2-foot or whatever it is, save it, and literally put it back up. There's a way to go at drywall with a sharp utility knife, change the blade once or twice, and just really keep scoring it until you get it versus sawing, you know, putting sawzall or whatever up there. They must have a thin wheel with some sort of dust collection thing that somebody's invented by now for doing that.
Well, they got you can do the bucket with like the multi-tool.
Yeah.
Multi-tool's great. Cuts right through it.
Okay. And the bucket would be not a bucket. In this case, it'd be like a big plastic pan
or something.
You can
even hold a bucket right there and it goes with it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
This says that today building codes require it to be 60 millimeters thick, which is a little over 2 inches.
2 inches?
That's what it says. 2.36 is the conversion that I did. I'm reading right off
60 millimeters is 60 millimeters is two over 2 inches, 2.3 inches or something like that. But they're not saying, are they saying the material is that thick? Or are they saying the base needs to be that wide before we lay the material out?
PVC membrane.
Yeah.
It says, when Duradec first started waterproofing decks and balconies, the thickness of the PVC membrane was only 20 mil, and those decks lasted for several years. Today, the thickness of a vinyl sheet membrane for decks not requiring building permits is more than double that at 45.
So 45 mil.
Pedestrian roof decks, however, have a building code requirement of 60 mils. That's already 25% thicker.
But it's not millimeter.
That's commercial.
It's not millimeter, is it?
Is mils something different?
Mil. Yeah.
Millimeter.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's not millimeter. Ignorance. Mil, like Visqueen.
Yeah.
My mistake. I'm sorry.
What's mil stand for?
I don't know. We're going to find out now, but
yeah,
I'm saying if
that's like the plastic. Yeah.
Yeah, you can get like, I don't know, what Visqueen, you know, 10 mil or 20 mil or something like that, and it's as thin as a sheet of paper.
Yeah, I think the
mils
less
is a unit of length equal to 1/100th of an inch.
All right, genius eye. So, no, you don't know. Gary didn't know. But come on, Ray. You should have known.
Sure.
No, you're not an idiot. You should know. Ray's the idiot. Ray's the only idiot. He's the king of the idiots. The mill, like it's plastic.
Yeah, I get it.
All right. Hey.
King of the idiots. Go ahead. What are you going to be remembered
Shotguns
for?
Use gouges. Did you guys know that?
Gouges?
I got a 10-gouge shotgun.
Okay.
All right. So now we're going to go from 2 1/4 inches down to an eighth or something like that.
Thank you. That's what I was saying at the beginning. Anyway.
Oh, Ray. What? You were saying you thought stuff was 3/4 thick.
No, I'm saying both of them are like quarter. There's two of them.
It's 6/10 of an inch.
6/10 of an inch. So it's over half an inch.
Wait, no, 6/100 of an inch. I'm sorry.
Here's what it'll be. Look at my fingers. I've never used this material. I've never seen it. I've never walked on it. But I'm telling you what it is. I'm pointing at about 1/8 of an inch or less.
I'm saying it's a quarter.
All right. No, you were saying it was 3/4 minutes ago.
No, I was saying there was using two of them. It's going to be like Hardybacker. Hardybacker's a quarter or half an inch.
No, there's two of them. They butt each other. That's the two.
And then they clean. Then they do the seam like that. They heat the seam.
Yeah.
I thought they were lapping both ways.
No, look. It's got. He said I got a right piece and a left. Okay. Anyway.
Gotcha.
All right. You got me. Gary will figure it out. Here's my point. It's basically like a sheet of exterior linoleum is basically what I'm thinking.
Okay.
Gary will find out what 60 mil is. But like I said, Visqueen or whatever. It's like, what's a thick Visqueen plastic? How many mil?
I forget if it's a high number or a low number. Like
I think it's a higher. I think it's a higher number. It's not like gauge.
It's like
wire.
It's about 1/16 of an inch.
Okay. All right. So it's a laminate. It basically lays up on top of the plywood. That's why he's saying plywood. Plywood, and I'm saying it could be delaminating from the plywood.
I think it's a it might be a bubble.
Takes a long to get back to me, doesn't
Where's
it, Matt?
Rob? Like, oh. Where's Rob? I need that cleat up. Where's
Listen,
that cleat?
I don't mind the part where everyone's wrong. I mind the part where we have to work it out all the time. All right. So it's delaminating, which it could be, or it may not be. I would go underneath, and I would cut out a piece of drywall, and I would investigate the underside of this. That's what I would do. Now,
what if that 3/4 rotten or whatever? What
well,
would you do?
Now we got to get up top, and we got to start some surgery.
I'd even cut it out from the bottom, Ace, and then just throw another piece there.
You're going to cut your plywood out from the bottom?
Yeah, just set a gauge. You know how thick it is. You're not going to hit that stuff above it.
You got the joist running? What are we talking about here? No, if the plywood is really rotted out, we got to do something bigger picture. You know,
take it out from the top.
Now it's time to take the top, do the saw cut on the seam, pull the whole thing off, and really see just what we're talking about in terms of replacing stuff. All right.
I think it's going to be an easy fix.
Why?
I don't know. I think it just bubbled up. It's a hot spot, and it just came.
All right. It delaminated.
Yeah.
So now, what do you want to do?
I'd go from under and inject some glue or however it's
drill
it's
a
attached.
Hole.
Yeah.
How are you going to drill a hole without getting through that thin mill though at the top?
I'd even get a suction cup and pull the thin mill off of it a little bit.
Get somebody up top.
Somebody up top that can
pull it off a little bit. Pull it back. And then
drill
your hole
there, yeah.
And then inject a bunch of
whatever the adhesive is to glue it down. I'm sure there's a glue down. It's got
whatever
to be a
they
glue
use.
Down. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll tell you about my bookie. Where you're betting at. Just as important as who you're betting on. Go to mybookie.ag. Mybookie.ag. Been in business for years. The reputation is rock solid. 100% cash bonuses and the fastest payouts. Just 2 business days. In-game, live betting. I love this, man. In-game and live betting. They do it on fights, too. Most rewarding players, perks in the business, and an all-new mobile site that makes wagering on the go a breeze. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to a 100% bonus. Use promo code ACE to activate the offer. So, you want to have some fun this football season? Make things a little interesting? MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. MyBookie.ag. All right, we got a call up there. It's Adam, 40, Utah.
Yeah.
What's going on, man?
Nothing. How are you today?
Good, man. Question.
Good. Hey, I've got a flat, well, not a really flat roof over my garage. It's about a 20-foot wide garage. And it's only got about a foot of slope from one end to the other. And I need to put a metal roof on. And I'd like to get a little more slope out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
No.
Well, he's in Utah. Wants more slope. All right. What do you got for a parapet?
I do not know what a parapet is.
Doesn't
Matt,
have a parapet.
You want to tell him what a parapet is? So I can take a little break here for a second.
That's when you got two armpits and you put them together. It's a pair.
Pair of pits.
Thank you.
That's right.
I'll be here all day.
Yeah, man.
You should
do those caps on the Lucky Lager bottle top.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Getting the popsicle biz.
You missed your calling. it's the thing that rises. So it's your exterior wall, how it rises up so you don't see the pitch on the roof. It just looks the same. In medieval times,
it's like a man's arch.
It's where you put the archers.
Right.
You know?
So you have a wall, like a stem wall going up, and then with a man's arch, it has an angle, but sometimes they're just straight.
I don't know. Not sure about the man's arch part. I got to look up man's arch, Gary. I mean, that's like, I don't know. I would describe the man's arch as the front of a roof that has an angle or something.
The parapet wall and then the...
He doesn't have a man's art.
He doesn't have a parapet either.
He might have a parapet.
He doesn't have a parapet.
I don't believe I have a parapet.
Mm.
It's a center block or cement block garage.
It is. And does the garage wall go up past the roof?
It's like 2x10s spanning the whole width.
Right. And nothing that goes up past the roof.
No.
You see the slope of the roof from the outside.
Yeah, it's
and one side it's a block higher than the other side, right?
One side's a block higher than the other side.
A man's arch is a roof that has four sloping sides, each of which becomes steeper halfway down.
Now look up cupola.
My problem is it's an add-on garage, so it's like putting trusses up there to transition from one roof to the next will look weird. So can I just build up one side, and how can I build up one side and then put a metal roof on top?
Do it with a block.
You want to do it with another block?
Yeah.
Go another way.
Tap into it.
Is that 8 inches or something?
Yeah, it's got to be. 8/8, 16 block?
Cupola is a small, most often dome-like structure on the top of a building used to provide a lookout or to admit light and air, and usually crowns a larger roof or dome.
Can you dullards believe I was a horrible student?
Sure
horrible.
Can.
And that everybody...
You had a cupola on your garage.
Everybody at North Hollywood High, all the faculty, and as well as counselors just looked at Corolla and just like threw in the towel, just went... Have fun with the garbage on the construction sites, dude. I'll see you in Van Nuys in about 40 years. Weird, right? Don't you think they got to have like a little... I feel like every movie I've seen is
spotted.
You'll
be remembered. Come on.
Why couldn't I... But why they spot the 9-year-old black kid who's good at chess in every goddamn movie? But they couldn't see the genius, the white genius, right in front of them?
You said cupola, weirdo.
I believe that speaks to my genius. Go ahead, You could back the comedy out of my entire life, and I'd still proudly hold the mantle of genius. Still. But then you take comedy, which is debilitating for everybody else. Like, they can't do other things or have other thoughts or hold down.
Mr. Tony, please give Adam a call. Mr. Deliberti, whatever teacher's out there that's still living, please call Adam and apologize to
me.
And tell him what a comedic fucking genius he is.
Don't even need that part. I just take overall genius.
All right.
Go ahead. Oh, Adam, where were we? Yeah.
My problem is I don't want to rip everything off. I'd rather just
build it on top of it. Yeah.
Build it up on top of the roof.
All right.
But then you're going to double the weight, dude. You're going to put the roof on top, roof crime.
Ball. Here's what you can do. He's got cinder block. He's got 2x10s. He's going to be fine. All right. Here's what I would do, Adam. I would do all out of treated lumber. I would start with the 2x10s, and I would rip sleepers from 9 1/4 or 3/8 or whatever a 2x10 is these days, and down to zero, maybe. And I would just put them up there, and I would put the metal roof right on top of them.
Would you add a block? Hold on.
I didn't think about all the snow. Probably have to skim it with some 1/2-inch OSB and then put the stuff on top. If you just want to go on top of the on top.
Right, gotcha.
That's what I want to do, is on top
of the
on top.
Would you add a block?
No.
Not necessarily.
I just go right on top. I mean, I don't know how you're going to finish off the outside.
So I just start on one side. I do it like a 2x10 and run it all the way lengthwise
of
the garage.
And
by the time you get to the other side, you're down to 2x0.
Yeah, but make your template.
Run your 2x10. Yeah, like your ledger up on top, right? Oh, use a bunch of treated stuff. Use a bunch of, you know, construction adhesive on the bottom edge, and use a bunch of those hardy new like Decker screws, and have pilot holes and stuff like that, and just run it
frame it all, too.
Just run it all down that way. And just screw
it. And sheet it.
Yeah, and then sheet it with some OSB, and then put the new metal roof on top of that.
And we're talking about every 16 inches, we're just going to step down that 2x and do it that way,
right? Do it every 2 feet.
I would do... do it every 2 foot. 2 foot on center so you can get your plywood to lay out. Don't lay out those rafters or your sleepers or whatever we're calling them before... We make sure you got your plywood layout right, like you're going to land on those seams, okay?
Okay.
So do that, and then, yes, just go put your first 2x10 up on the edge, go from there, and go measure your distance.
To zero.
Cut them to that, and just cut them to zero. And if you're lucky, you can use the bottom side.
Right. And then flip it.
If you work this out right, you might get... Two sleepers out of each 2x10.
How long is it? He's going to be... Nah, come on.
Well, no, it's
got to be like 20 feet. What is he going to get?
It could be 16 feet or something like that. Get 16-footers.
All right.
Cut them, or maybe it's 15-7 or something. You cut your 16-footers at 15-7, snap that line down them, get happy with the circular saw, and...
Flip it and use it again.
Why not? And then instead of doing, 20 of them, you do 10 of them.
Yeah, you're making a ramp. Figure it out. You got it.
All right. Blinds Galore, you got this too. They got their Labor Day sale. It's happening right now. Up to 50% off everything. One of our biggest sales of the year. Love these guys, man. And I said our biggest sale of the year because I feel like I'm part of the family over there. I use these guys for everything. You worked hard all summer. Let's reward yourself. 100% custom window coverings from Blinds Galore. Over 2 million windows and counting. Our experts will guide you through every step of the way. I have them in the studio. I have them at the new house. I have them in the edit bay, which is good. And when it gets hot, and we have them here, when it gets real, and I built some new, got some cubicles coming to the other shop, man. We're doing more movies, but I got more Blinds Galore over there because when it gets hot, man, does it keep the heat out. Free shipping, and they'll give you up to 15 samples, so you pick out just the color you want at Blinds Galore. Check out blindsgalore.com during their big Labor Day sale. Let them know I sent you. These guys are great sponsors. They're good people. They're out in the San Diego area, I think, and they really take care of their customers. blindsgalore.com. All right, not Taco Bell material. The one-man show coming to Chicago, Park West, September 23rd. Then October 13th, Minneapolis Music Hall. And then Saturday, the 14th, Nashville, Polk Theater. Doing shows all over the place. And we're doing live shows all over the place, live podcasts. Just go to amcarolla.com and figure it all out.
Hey, I want to go with you on a road trip one day.
All right.
I do. Just hang out, do a bunch of cities. That'd be fun.
How's that going to work, though? Are you performing?
Sure. And okay. I'll stay in your room. We slept in the same bed together. Settle down. It's fine.
Yeah, when you had ringworm.
You didn't get it.
I know. You hogged the whole bed. Anyway, you got to really explore that sleeping style of yours. I think it speaks to something. AceOnTheRoof.com. Click the PayPal button. Let's get Ray a house, everybody. Until next time. Adam Carolla for Ray Oldhoffer saying mahalo.
Follow me on the Facebook. Thank you.
Thank you.
Subscribe on iTunes or visit aceontheroof.com. This is Corolla Digital.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.